Hey, good morning. It's 8:30. My name is Dan Diamond, and in the studio with me, I do have Bit Wizards. First of all, Vince. Good morning, Vince.
Morning, sir. How are you?
I am doing wonderful, and thanks for that input, by the way. Yeah. Also, we have Jennifer Krause in here. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Dan.
And Jennifer, tell us what you do for Bit Wizards.
So my official title at Bit Wizards is the MIT Service Manager. We have an internal mantra in my department. It's happy customers, great IT, in that order, and my responsibility is to make sure all of our clients are happy.
Well, that's good. So she's got a big smile on her face, and everybody's happy. And you probably serve hot chocolate too.
I do. I do.
Absolutely. Well, let's get right into it, shall we?
Bit Wizards, Bits and Bytes.
What do you got, Vince?
Well, today I'm going to not necessarily start off with the news. I got a couple of housekeeping items that I wanted to address. First of all, I wanted to give a good shout out to Jennifer Adams and the folks over at the TDC, because last week I attended the TDC annual meeting, and I was really impressed with the direction that they're going in terms of the way that they're trying to brand Destin Fort Walton Beach as a destination, and how they're trying to balance that that we want to create socially responsible programs that benefit both our locals as well as our tourism. And it's important to us because, you know, a rising tide floats all boats. You know, two of the areas that our economy is on military and tourism.
Right.
And I just think that they're doing a good job, and I wanted to give a shout out. I attended that meeting last week and give them a big thumbs up.
Okay. For those that don't know what TDC stands for, it's Tourist Development Council.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
And I've attended that a few times myself. And really and truly, you get a good feel, a good sense of what's going on in our area when you attend one of those meetings.
Absolutely. And they just do a great job. They're really taking a fresh approach in the way that they're looking at it and how they're trying to attract the right kind of folks to our neighborhood that basically props up our community.
Absolutely. Get that tourism down here.
Yep, absolutely. So the other one I wanted to address is I'm going to poke the bear a little bit per se, because I want to give a shout out to the businessman who called in and to voice his displeasure about our commercials that are running currently on Cumulus Broadcasting.
So hey, they're fun commercials.
They are. I mean, we heard you loud and clear, and I just want to tell you guys that Sam and I wrote all eight of those commercials, and Cumulus did the voiceovers for us. Charlotte Bergman, our friendly sales rep, helped us get all those taken care of, and we're really proud of them. And you know, we accomplished our goals there. I mean, we wanted them to be funny, we wanted them to be memorable, we wanted them to be edgy, and we wanted them to be remarkable. And I know that they are,
yep,
because this gentleman took time out of his busy day as a business owner to call us and let me know that it had struck an emotional chord with him.
Oh.
And so we connected, and that's actually a good thing.
Well, good.
But his call also tells me that we got our contact information correct, because he used the website address. That's www.bit-wizards.com.
Right.
And was able to find us. And he actually looked up our phone number and gave us a call. So I want to know, that, you know, we understand that not everybody's a good fit. And he was insightful and helpful in helping me determine that our commercials are meeting our goals, and that we're not going to change a thing about them. So they're clearly effective, and again, I want to thank him and wish him the very best.
Absolutely. You know what? The power of radio, Vince. Can you believe it? Yeah, how about that? Instant success.
So we can launch into the next segment.
Bit Wizards, what's up our sleeve?
Let's find out what's up your sleeve, and we'll let that lie.
Well, we're going to start with the new the thing that happened over in Pensacola yesterday. It came out in the Wall Street Journal that the city of Pensacola was hit by cyber attack, mm-hmm. and they've shut down most of the city network, and they are trying to get things back up. Right now, they're doing things via stubby pencil and paper, and it's going to stay that way until they resolve the issue.
Even some of the phone lines aren't working right now in City Hall and things of that nature.
Absolutely, and you know, tying that back into small business, everybody is vulnerable. And IBM Security Research did a study, and the cost of a data breach has risen about 12% over the last year, around $3.92 million on average. And what's interesting about that, when they divide it out by business segment, they found that it costs about $204 per employee breach, or per employee for each breach, for employees over 25,000. And that for employee organizations that are 500 to 1,000 employees, it costs about $3,533 per employee and even smaller companies that cost even more. So smaller organizations have higher costs relative to their size than larger organizations, and this really hampers their ability to be to recover financially from some sort of an incident. So, it's really important, and people need to take it seriously.
And even I wanted to add to this, even these smaller businesses, it can be much more detrimental to the smaller businesses, because the larger businesses might have the capital and the money to bounce back, even if it takes a little while. But the smaller businesses don't always have the ability to bounce back.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, because, you know, larger businesses obviously have larger capital, mm-hmm. and smaller businesses could really wipe them out.
Well, and they also often don't have the expertise or the resources to battle an incident that happens. And a lot of people don't realize this, but the life cycle of a breach is about 279 days. So at 206 days, you know, for about 206 days, they've breached your inside of your systems, and they sit there and they watch what's going on. And usually by the time you realize that there's been a breach or something's happened, or they take some sort of action, or they do ransomware or something, it takes about 73 days typically on average to contain that type of a breach. So, I want to be positive here, because I don't want to scare everybody to death. I mean, I want to tell them that there's hope. There's things that you can do that will help you be proactive about this and make sure that your business is protected and ready to go. And the first one is to understand that security is not a passive activity. It's something that everybody has to be vigilant about, and you need to make sure that you train and educate your employees on the different things that are going on.
And part of the being vigilant, a lot of the breaches and a lot of viruses come through email. There are a lot of crafty, very clever ways to disguise emails. Being vigilant is very important, especially when it comes to what is arriving in your inbox. Always pay attention to the sender, and pay attention to what the email is asking of you, because that is a big way that that breaches are happening.
I do have a question, though, because oftentimes, you know, when you have a business and you're expecting emails, mm-hmm. maybe for your business, people you don't know because you're looking for new business, and you open that email, how can you control yourself, or how can you avoid getting a virus into your computer or malware or anything else?
So part of the being vigilant is paying attention to who the sender is, who it's from, what they're asking of you. Not that long ago, I received a junk email from Vince Mayfield in my spam folder, and it said in the subject line, "Hey, I need a favor." And in the email, it said, "Hey, I need you to run up to the store, buy me a gift card and email it back to me real quick. I'm busy. I don't have my phone on me right now. Please, you know, just email me back." And first of all, I know that Vince is not going to send me an email like that. And second of all, I looked at the sender. Anybody can change their name to Vince Mayfield, but if you look at the actual sending address, that's the first thing you want to pay attention to, because that's usually how they catch you.
Now, when it comes to malware, though, usually it's a link, isn't it? You got to click mm-hmm. on a link. And when you click on that link, then it downloads into your computer.
But it's the same thing. You can see the contact, the name. It could be a name that you recognize, but the sending address, if it's I love the radio 652 at yahoo.com, that's when you want to pay attention.
Yeah, because I know what you're talking about. The sender's email address, like, for example, with Cox Communications, they have tons, because I have Cox Communications, they have tons that come out. But it won't say Cox Communications, it won't say Cox.net, it won't say anything. It'll have some weird address, and you go, mm-hmm. there's no way it's coming from them.
Exactly.
I was going to say, the other thing that we could do that BitWizards does to help out with that is that we use Office 365, and in the email with Office 365, we use Advanced Threat Protection. One of the things it does is it takes every hyperlink that exists inside of your email, and it goes out and does a scan of that link to see if it is a safe sender. So it may take a second or two longer for your email to come into your inbox, but one of the things that it does is do that scan, and it does that proactive step beforehand.
Good.
And true story about the link scanning and attachment scanning, it will continue scanning weeks and months after the email arrives to your inbox. I actually had an alert a couple weeks ago that said that a link in one of my emails that I saved in one of my folders has changed and I should be aware of that. And that was the first time that I've ever experienced a link actually changing on me, and it was good to know.
That's interesting.
And I want to give a quick shout out back to the office to Tabitha Erickson, our director of finance, and Caroline McCoy, my executive assistant. I promise I will never send an email that asks you to transfer money out of our bank account to someplace else. That's something I will give
or
you
a gift card.
Or a gift card.
Absolutely.
Definitely not.
Oh, man. Do you guys get attacked? I mean, you guys are bit wizards. Do you get attacked too?
They try. One of the interesting things that we have recently gone through is penetration testing, which means that we have hired a very reputable company to attempt to breach us internally and externally. And we went through this exercise so that we could protect our privates and we can protect the privates of our clients. And we went through that testing so that we could be prepared in the event that somebody does try to attack us, because they do. They'll try to attack anybody. They try to attack any organization that they can get their hands on, but it doesn't mean that they can get through.
Cybercrime is big business. There's a lot of financial gain to be done by doing it. And if you think Bitcoin doesn't ultimately have value, it does. And this is why these guys do it. They're able to transfer stuff anonymously because you pay real cash to get Bitcoin.
Okay.
Right? So it's almost like a commodity that you might use on the exchange. And that's how these guys, you know, get their money. But once they get the Bitcoin, it's transferred, you know, encrypted. And there's no way for you to track where it actually came from or what it, you know, where.
Good way to launder the money, I guess.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it is. And this is, it makes a really significant problem for law enforcement.
To track it down.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and that is your ransomware. Those people get in and they'll hold you ransom for all of your information, your computer, everything at ransom until you pay with Bitcoin, I guess. And then they unlock it, hopefully.
Yeah, that's one way of doing it. The other way that they also do it is they go in and they go through your data and they may find things like social security numbers if you have them stored of your employees, and then utilize that to get, you know, tax returns or things like
credit
that.
Cards.
Credit cards is another one.
Mm-hmm.
They also, if you're storing customer credit card information, we're all told not to do it, but I know small businesses all the time that continue to store customer credit card information electronically. And you're not even, you know, it's not just electronically that's an issue. Sometimes you have, you know, somebody that comes in the front door that, you know, if you've got a credit card authorization form laying out on the desk somewhere, somebody walk by, snap a picture of that, and then use it. So there's a lot of things that have to do with, they're not just electronic security that you need to get into place. One of the steps that we took with BitWizards here, and she talked about the penetration testing, is that we recently went with our accounting firm, Warren Averett, and we had them do an SSA 18 SOC1 attestation and certification. And the reason why we had them do that is they come in and make sure that we've got proper controls in place for our business and make sure that we've got best practices implemented and that we have controls in place to make sure that things like this don't happen, both at a physical level as well as an electronic level.
Mm-hmm. And the focus of that compliance is on the availability of information, the security of information, and the confidentiality of information.
And that's what you do for your customers.
Mm-hmm.
You learn from all of this so you can pass it down and enhance the security of your customers. That's what it sounds like to me.
We've learned a lot.
Absolutely. And then that's also to let them know that we're also a trustworthy source in terms of providing, you know, these types of services for the customer. Because, you know, as I talked before, that there are things that the customer can do themselves. And one of them is to make sure that you have the right partner and the right platforms. And when you choose a partner, that you make sure that you do your homework, ensure that the company that you're trusting with your business is truly trustworthy. It's not just, you know, go look in the yellow pages or listen to somebody on the radio and make the choice. You need to get out there and do your homework.
However, if you do listen to some people on the radio, you will find that people like BitWizards can be trustworthy.
No, we can be.
Because they are, after all, the tip of the wand.
We are.
We are the tip of the wand. And in all jokes aside, we have a fun environment. We have a great culture. Thank you to Vince and Lewis Erickson. But we take what we do very seriously. Information technology and protecting our clients and protecting data, it's very serious, and we do take our we do take it seriously.
No, I agree. You know, that is one
we
point.
Have fun.
that's one point very well taken, because we can joke around with commercials and we can joke around back and forth, but what you do for your clients, you take extremely serious. Because it's one way for you to be able to help them enhance their business. Like mm-hmm. we've talked before, you take care of their computers and security so they can do their business.
Absolutely. And we know that, you know, not only to take care of them, but we talk about the culture that we have at BitWizards. And so if you go to our website, you'll go out and take a look, and it looks like we have a lot of fun. And we do. But we also know that that people that are professional, and they want to have a great work environment because they want to stay there. You don't want high turnover. This is why we invest so much in our culture. That exudes over into how we help our clients out and how we deal with our clients and try to make technology be simplified. And then at the same time, we also have that level of professionalism that's necessary to deliver these types of services.
Yep. You guys are fun but serious.
It's fun,
we
but serious.
Are. And I have to give a little shout out to one of our lead infrastructure engineers, Patrick. He stayed, he pulled an all-nighter at our office last night. Doesn't happen very often, but we have our director of IT, Sam, and Brett helping one of our clients in Ohio right now with firewall issues. And Patrick stayed at the office all night supporting them and making sure we get done what needed to be done for their firewall and their VPN. So we're fun, but we're serious.
No empty whiskey bottles. They were seriously working.
There may be some empty whiskey bottles. I don't know.
Well, that's an interesting point, because you mentioned firewalls, and that's another thing that a customer can do, and it's is to have a firewall and to understand that having a firewall needs to be continuously updated. And at BitWizards, you know, we use a cutting-edge cloud-managed firewall called Fortinet as part of our service, and it ensures that you've got the very edge of your network protected. But we also have multiple layers of security that we implement, which includes antivirus on your clients. We do real-time monitoring and backups, patching, password complexity, and providing training and support for your employees. And I would mention that you know, a lot of people run out and say, oh, I went down to Best Buy and I bought a firewall and now I'm good to go. Well, I want to say the type of firewalls that we use is a Fortinet firewall is on the Gartner Magic Quadrant. Gartner is the market research company that publishes, and it's an IT consulting firm, and it rates and looks at all of the qualitative and quantitative data analysis and demonstrates the market trends such as direction and maturity of the participants. And you have to earn your position on the Gartner Magic Quadrant. And Fortinet is on the Gartner Magic Quadrant as a leader in enterprise firewalls and in security information and event management. So we use top of the line stuff so that we can stay at the tip of the wand or the tip of the spear, if you may.
Yeah, there you go. So when you put that firewall in, say, like you said, somebody goes down to Best Buy and they think they get a great firewall, but also the firewall, isn't it also when you're installing the firewall and all the different the configurations and like the firewall you're talking about, which is top of the line firewall, you're putting it in and you're making sure that it's an effective firewall.
Yeah, absolutely. So we set them up, we configure it, we set up the rules that are tailored to your particular business and how you operate, which today in our From the Spellbook, we're going to talk about one aspect of that.
I gotcha. And speaking of Spellbook,
BitWizards From the Spellbook.
So From the Spellbook today, we're going to talk about VPNs or virtual private networks. And the best way to understand a VPN is it provides a point-to-point tunnel, is the best way to think of it, between your network and some other location. Mm-hmm. And that point-to-point network, basically, or that tunnel, what it does is everything is encrypted across that tunnel, and at each end there's a handshake on either side that says, hey, I am who I said I was. Yes, you're the person that you said you were, and vice versa as the traffic goes back and forth across. And some of the uses for that might be, one, connecting two offices together, that you may have, like or the client that we're talking about that we're onboarding. They have offices in Ohio and California and Michigan, and they want to connect those offices together so that they are on the same network together as one, and that's done with a VPN. Another one might be if, Dan, you want to work from home and do your broadcast from home. You might have a VPN that connects to the firewall and then brings you into the network here at Cumulus Broadcasting and allows you to work securely and transfer your data back and forth in a manner that would be secure and protected from prying eyes.
So with a VPN, it's much more difficult to hack into.
Absolutely, or for them to see or inspect the traffic that's coming across and see what you're transmitting back and forth, any sensitive data. And the other way that we do it is use it to do data center to data center or your office to, say, a data center. So, for example, a lot of our customers, we move most of their servers off-premise or off their location, and we move them up into the cloud. Well, the way we are able to connect them is we use a VPN that ties them between their firewall and where it resides up in the cloud to provide that secure connection and make that server as if it's actually part of their network.
Oh, so you can do that with a server as well?
Well, yes, sir.
You in the can cloud.
A server as well in the cloud, and that happens through the firewall. And the firewall, obviously, that's a hardware device, and it runs software. It needs to be updated and kept patched. But it also requires software on your clients.
Oh, yeah. Well, that sounds to me like about the most secure way you could run your data.
Oh, absolutely. When you're doing VPN connections, that's the best way to connect locations together, connect to data centers, or allow your users to work from home.
Gotcha.
And there are a lot of people these days that do work from home. We have a lot of clients whose bookkeepers work from home. And when you're dealing with financial data, you definitely want it to be secure when you're transmitting it back to the home office, and having that VPN tunnel helps with that security.
Is that getting to be more and more common with VPNs? Mm-hmm. More and more people using that?
Oh, absolutely. For sure. There's more and more people working from home as well.
Right. So they use the VPN so that their information is secure. It's probably faster too, I would imagine, because you're going directly from one to the other.
It's not necessarily faster because all of the data has to be encrypted and decrypted as it goes across the wire, but the speed is negligible these days. The encryption technology and the way that this works is pretty sophisticated. Plus, you know, we're recommending to our customers, because of the amount of data that's going back and forth, we're suggesting that they, not just with VPNs, but just in general, and the way that you communicate with websites and other things like that, your internet speed is very critical. The amount of bandwidth that you have for that's very critical.
I see. And for the average small business, is there a speed that you would recommend for a small business, or do they have to be tailored depending on how many computers they have and
depends
so on
how many people, how many computers, what they're utilizing, what the capacity is. So if you've got one office with five people, but each of those five people have a laptop and a mobile device, they may need a bigger internet speed faster than an office that has five employees but no mobile devices, or it just depends on how much capacity is being used.
So obviously you would need more than you would say a home internet speed.
And we monitor those things. You know, we talked about that cloud managed firewall, the Fortinet firewall, and we monitor your connection and we monitor your network in real time. And we just had a customer call in the other day that called me up and said, "Hey, I just want to tell you, your team rocks." And I said, "Well, what happened?" And he said, "Well, our internet went down, and before I could even get into work, they had called the office, told me that the internet was down, and offered to call Cox on our behalf and get a technician out there to get the network router replaced that is managed by Cox." And they got that coordinated and done, and he said, if you do this for all your customers," and I said, "Yes, sir, we do." He said, that is a testament to the type of company that you are."
That is a great testament right there. You know, when you're a business owner and somebody contacts you and tells you what a fantastic job that your company did, other employees, You know, that's got to be a great pat on the back, and you feel like you're going in the right direction.
Absolutely. And, you know, we listen to our customers even when they're not happy with this. When they tell us that there's something that's not working right, we go back. We have a group of within the team. We get together. We talk about how we're going to mitigate that and how we're going to fix that problem going forward.
So, well, that's valuable information, though.
Absolutely.
It truly is, because, you know, some people will grumble and they'll tell all their friends or whoever they know what they did a horrible job. But if they can give you an idea like, you know, this didn't work for me, and you can fix it and make them happy, then everybody's happy.
And part of what we do is we are the virtual CIO for our clients. And even though my responsibility is to keep our clients happy, I actively want to know when there is a problem so that we can talk about a solution from a higher level. And a lot of people don't want to complain. Some people love to complain, but not everybody wants to complain. So I actively meet with our clients, and I want to know what challenges they're having, what difficulties they're having, even with technology, because technology is not always going to be seamless, but we want to work with our clients to make it as easy as possible.
Yeah, and you must have a lot of work on your hands, because always websites are updating, they're improving, and software improving as well. So to keep up with that, you guys must always be digging into information and reading and getting
constant.
Like, I would bet that it's a constant information overload trying to stay up.
And we feed on each other. We feed from each other. We have a really good team. Our department is very strong, and we learn from each other. It's not one person's responsibility for anything. Everybody, just like today, every Tuesday we have a weekly IT meeting. It's a longer meeting, but we go through changes that are happening and things that everybody needs to know. We all bring something to the table of value.
Yeah, and I think, Vince, in the past you've said with your team, there are members of your team that are deep into certain things, and so you all have your specialty, but like you said, you can get together and cross feed, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's important to get that, to create that feedback loop, not only within the team, but also with our customers, which is why we have multiple touch points with our customers. And it's not just, you know, an email address. They can pick up the phone and call us at any time. Quarterly, we go over and do a review where we print out what are the things that we've done over the last quarter, what types of things do you need to be looking at coming forward, is there anything that's going to be obsolete? And they are able to take that, and they know that, you know, we're keeping them protected and address whatever issues that they might have at that particular point. So it's a great touch point.
Well, you know, something you brought up a good point. It's not necessarily obsolete, but Windows 7 is now not going to be supported by Windows anymore. And I think that's January 14th. Is that right? Something like that.
About January that time 20th. Frame. Yeah, 20th. January. It's within a few weeks.
Yeah, it's not far off. And so no. If you haven't upgraded to 10 at least right by now,
yes,
you're putting your company in jeopardy after the 20th, if it is, of
and
January.
And from a personal level as well.
Yeah.
It's not just going to be businesses. It's any Windows 7 machine. So even if you're sitting at home with your Windows 7 laptop, you need to pay attention to that as well, because they're all going to be vulnerable.
Oh, that's not good news. But then again, you guys have always talked about Windows 365, and to me, that sounds like the Cadillac.
It is. It is the top-of-the-line commercial product for productivity is Office 365.
Yeah,
and I do want to give a big BitWizards thank you and shout out to one of our clients. It's the Emerald Coast Regional Council, and they provide transportation planning and economic development, emergency planning, environmental planning, and housing strategy, and some land use planning. And BitWizards, we do provide the managed IT services for ECRC, and we want to thank Austin Mount, the CEO, as well as your team, Austin, for allowing BitWizards to serve you, and we absolutely enjoy working with you.
How about that? A good shout-out to one of your clients. I love that. Well, we're just about out of time, so Vince, Jennifer, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Actually, I think I might see you before Christmas, huh, Vince?
I think we have one more.
One more, yeah. But thank you for coming in. We appreciate you, and I guess we'll see you next Tuesday for BitWizards Tip of the Wand.
Yay, thank you.
Yay,
you
thank
betcha.
You.
Thanks for coming in.